the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it is October 1st.
Wow, we made it.
It's definitely fall.
Yeah, it feels like fall in the city of Los Angeles.
And the last couple days have been beautiful.
Yeah.
After a very warm September.
Oh, man. And, you know, it's going to warm back up, people. So don't worry about feeling like your haunted houses are going to be too cold to go to.
Is that a thing? It gets warmer again? In October?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'll be warm through right before Thanksgiving.
Is this the Santa Anas?
Yes. We've made it into the wind that comes from the east.
And what
the desert winds.
I see.
Normally, the wind in Los Angeles comes from the ocean, right? The wind that comes out. But the Santa Anas bring allergies and the flu and the fires, and they're just an absolute nightmare.
I think one of the most valuable things about this podcast is learning about Southern California.
I mean, you know,
Casey Lawrence.
I've got a lot of little Southern California tips and tricks here, people. You know, you need them. You got me.
So we're into October. And I have just learned about a new basketball advanced stat that I don't like.
Oh, I want to hear what advanced stat has you saying, I don't trust this.
Oh, I don't know what.
Can I guess a couple things?
Yes, I don't know how to pronounce it either. Go ahead.
Okay. Is the advanced stat John Hollinger signing with The Athletic?
No. Did that happen?
Yes, it did.
Has he not worked for the Grizzlies for a while?
This is his first year. He's leaving the Grizzlies to go back into writing because now that everybody knows what PER is and how it works.
And how lame it is.
He's got to come up with a new stat that you have to pay $3.99 a month to subscribe to get.
Yeah. I'd like to reiterate that my biggest problem with a lot of these stats is that, and they will say this a lot of times, they'll be like, the value of an advanced statistic is its predictive utility.
Yeah.
The ability to say, like, hey, based on the past, I think in this upcoming season, this player will have this kind of season, or these teams will have this kind of game.
Yeah.
And John Hollinger's PER predictions over the when he was working for ESPN were just so uniformly not accurate.
Oh.
When he would come out and say, like, this is how I think the top 100 players in the NBA are going to be this year, and this is how they're going to do. And what I realized was they were just exactly what you and I would do about predicting how a player would do.
This is how a player played last season. And I think plus they're going to play about a little bit like that the next season.
Plus or minus 10%, basically. Yeah. Basically, it's like if they're under 29,
yeah,
you add 10% to what they did. And if they're over 30, then you minus 10%.
So do you feel the same way about Carmelo? The 538 stat?
I don't know enough about that one, but I haven't paid attention to 538 since November 9th, 2016.
That was the day to click X on the browser window for 538.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's like a range of possibilities in the universe, right?
Yes. I'm just having to think about that.
I'm starting broad.
Yeah, you're starting pretty broad there.
Starting pretty broad. And I think the idea behind those PER predictions is to just say, all right, we think that the range is going to be this most likely. But, I mean, that's the thing with predicting anything is it's kind of a crapshoot in athletics, for one.
Yes.
And, you know, individually at each level, every single thing is unpredictable. And it's the conglomeration as a whole that you can kind of get in there and say, all right, we have a percentage chance that says that this is likely to happen, but there's always a chance that it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why I could never get mad about the PER stuff being so off, because I think it's a helpful tool to say this is how someone has played to affect what, to affect how their team has performed, like how valuable they were, right?
Yeah.
While I agree that the predictive value of PER is muddled at best,
mm-hmm.
I think that the value of looking at one specific stat and saying, all right, this player is above average, this player is average, this player is below average, is a useful tool.
Yeah, I guess I would say for the most part, we've had advanced stats now for what, 10 years?
Yeah.
I think rarely these days do they tell us something that we don't know already.
That is true.
And the times when there have been outliers where they're like, oh, this person's really efficient based on this way of looking at things.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, those players don't pan out. Like, a lot of times it's like, oh, that one statistic really favored them. My other problem with it is...
You talk about Ekpe Udo defensive stats?
Specifically of Kevin Martin
and
his offensive.
You mean basketball owner Kevin Martin?
Oh, who does he own now?
He owns a team in Australia. He's taking and investing some money into an NBL team.
Ah.
So,
you know, I might do something like that.
Yeah, get down there. You know, head down there for a month every summer and put on a play, and then check and see how the old round ball is going.
Yeah. So, and find the next LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is find the loudest asshole in an Australian bar and see if he has any kids that you can make miserable.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of... Ben Simmons' dad, was he a basketball player?
He was.
But he's American.
Yes.
And was he playing in the NBL or something?
That is my understanding of Ben Simmons' personal history.
Right. So Ben Simmons is like the Kobe Bryant of Australia.
Ooh, and Kobe Bryant is like the Ben Simmons of Italy?
Yeah, something like that.
All right. Ciao, Bella.
So my other problem with the advanced stats is almost always... You look, the deeper you can look into them, there's some point in their weighting of values or whatever, where it's like a guy just arbitrarily deciding that this is worth more than that.
Yes. Someone has made the decision. And, you know, what's the difference between advanced statistics in basketball and statistical analysis in research fields in academia?
Ooh, what is the difference?
Peer review.
Yeah.
Right. So these stats aren't peer reviewed in any sort of way that is valuable or meaningful. So you kind of have to say, all right, well, does it work?
Yeah.
Right. And that's not fully.
They're just fitted to past results for the most part.
Yeah. That can be a problem.
So all this to say, can you guess the new stat that I heard about that I don't like? And it sounds a lot like a musical that I don't like either.
Oh, is it called The Book of Harden?
No.
Is it called,
I have to look up what the actual, initialism stands
rant?
For.
Rant.
that's not bad.
Is it called, Snokla Dunka?
Snokla Dunka. Here's a hint. The musical that I don't like is called Pippin.
Pippin. Ah, because, it's about elves. Because it's about orphans?
No.
Because it's about...
It just has a really dumb ending. It's okay. Just like, and I find the musical to be kind of pointless.
Okay. So then the stat is called Pippin.
It's called Pippin. I don't know actually how you pronounce it in real life.
Like Rupert Pupkin.
Rupert Pupkin.
Hot in the news. Everybody go watch The King of Comedy to prepare yourself for this weekend's new hot superhero movie.
I mean, watch King of Comedy to prepare yourself for 2019.
And that's a really good point.
Like, incel culture, basically.
Yeah, I watched that movie while I was in Vegas for Summer League last year.
The movie's great.
And I was surprised. I just didn't know.
Oh, it's tremendous and, like, very relevant.
Oh, yeah.
And also kind of a twisted mirror version of Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Depending on how you think Taxi Driver ends.
Okay. All right.
What is you've seen Taxi Driver?
I have seen Taxi Driver, and it's been a minute.
Without going into any specific details, because it's a classic movie people might not have seen, do you think the ending of Taxi Driver actually happened or not?
I do not.
I don't think so either. But then there's people that say, like, Scorsese will be like, no, it happened or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I think Paul... what's his name? The guy who wrote the screenplay.
The same guy who...
he directed that Catholic movie with Ethan Hawke.
Yes.
Paul Schrader. Paul Schrader. I believe he says that it did happen.
Okay.
I could actually see the satirical impact of Taxi Driver being more weighty if it actually happened. Because then it's like, oh, shit. Like, you know, sometimes certain tactics do work.
Yeah.
Anyway... PIPM stands for player impact plus minus.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's a plus minus stat. Of course, you're going to be skeptical.
Well, it's a plus minus stat that apparently factors in luck.
Ooh.
It takes out luck as noise or something like that. And it's just whatever. Somebody.
So it would take the player's EFG from zones on the field and, like, say, well, they expect to make this many amount of shots there, so we're going to say they took that shot from there, we're going to give them the expected value on that.
I think it's actually slightly weirder than that. I think it actually takes out luck when the player is not on the court in terms of how it affects the, you know, how plus minus only applies when you're like it's affected by how the team performs when you're not on the court.
Yeah.
It somehow.
So if the team is lucky when you're not on the court,
it doesn't penalize
you. It doesn't penalize you. But if they're unlucky, it also penalizes you for that.
Something like that. I don't know. It sort of normalizes that noise out, I think.
Okay. So it's plus minus, but it's only the plus from you being in there? Is it like, cause
no, it's something else. It's like it standardizes when you're off the court and removes luck from the equation. I believe it also...
That actually makes a lot of sense.
I believe it also normalizes for luck during things like free throws that happen when you're on the court, but okay. You're not shooting them.
All right.
Because like, technically, like...
You can't do
it. There's really
like
no way...
Unless you there's no cause use, the foul.
Yeah.
Or like, what if you work really hard at like yelling?
Yelling?
Right, when they take the shot.
Or if you happen to run up and block the shot.
I've never blocked a free throw, but I've also never had a free throw blocked.
Yeah.
So
there's a variety of shots you have never been blocked. You've never been blocked attempting a dunk.
That is correct. Well, no, I have been blocked attempting a dunk
on a regulation hoop.
Yes.
You were attempting a dunk on a regulation hoop?
It wasn't going to go in.
I would say file that under you were attempting a layup.
Yeah. No, I was attempting a dunk.
It's like pass interference. Like the ball had to have a chance of being caught.
Okay. All right. I mean, you know, maybe if I would have gotten all the way up there. No.
Well, I mean, that would apply to most dunk attempts.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Just because you miss the dunk doesn't mean it's not a dunk attempt.
That's true.
Right? If I tried to slam it down, if I tried to do a real slam-a-jamma, that doesn't mean that I, you know, just because I had no chance of making it, doesn't mean I didn't attempt it.
Anyway, I should probably learn more about the stat, but I also don't really care. It's another thing like RPM that's just like whatever, where, you know.
Giannis- well, that one's, okay, that one's not player, what was it, PI?
Player impact.
Player plus impact. Minus. See, player impact is different than real because they're two separate phrases.
Yes.
Right. So one is player impact plus minus. The other one is real plus minus. They're way different. They're totally different.
This is fantasy plus minus. I will say that this one isn't super friendly to LeBron, especially on the defensive side.
Oh.
This one, I mean, most stats and advanced stats are going to be friendly to Giannis. Again, it's one of those stats that seems very heavily weighted towards centers and forwards.
Yeah.
And maybe the game just is, you know, but...
I mean, I feel like the game is not... It's like about guards and wings right now.
Yeah, I just mean in terms of effectiveness. A lot of the people on the top of this list are centers and forwards.
Interesting.
Just some funny highlights. This came up in, obviously, I don't even need to say this. This came up in a Reddit discussion. But some funny things. According to this... 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Last season, seventh best defensive player in the league was Ed Davis.
Ed Davis.
So underpaid. Although some good news for the Lakers fans out there. Danny Green's pretty high on this list. Or at least, yeah, he was.
Yeah.
But like defensively, it's all centers at the top of this. And most efficient offensive player was James Harden.
James Harden.
Any other weird ones here? According to this, 6, 7, 8th most efficient offensive player in the league, Bradley Beal.
Oh, I mean, he had a good season last year. He was just the only player in Washington to do so.
Yeah. So
they ran this on last year. Did they run it on historical data, or were they unable to?
They've got historical data. This site I'm on doesn't have a full breadth of this stat, but it has multi-year player impact plus minus that I could run if you have a question you'd like to ask. I assume multi-year is like the last 3 or more years.
Yeah.
On that one, Steph Curry is the top rated player. And the rest is like a sort of who you think it would be. Damian Lillard, very high on this list, number 6.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I, you know, the stat passes the eye test. Wouldn't it be funny if it was just all made up?
Yeah. I mean, this guy doesn't, I was going to say, who's Eric Moreland?
Eric Moreland from the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah. Is he really?
I don't know. I guessed that. That was my guess.
Well, he's from a team. I guess it's Toronto, but they're this. You know what? This makes me suspect No. This is when they put TOT, it's an aggregate total of two different teams.
Yes.
Okay. Because I thought they were saying that the Toronto Raptors were abbreviated as TOT. And then I think this whole stat's just bullshit.
Yeah, the TOT. He was on the Pistons, and then he got, he was on the Pistons and the Suns.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing NBA wise this week, just reading, dumb stats.
Have you been practicing James Harden's sidestep running three?
You know what's weird about that? Just to update you, if you look at the Rockets were playing a home friendly, as we would call it in rugby.
Yes.
By the way, shout out to the Japanese rugby team.
Ooh.
Who
they out here? Are they winning?
They pretty one of the biggest upsets in World Cup history. They defeated Ireland.
No way. Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing where like they're the home team. It's in Japan.
Yeah.
But like they're supposed to be like. In that pool is Ireland and Scotland, and they're like, we're the teams that should come out of this group. And now it's very much in doubt. Scotland lost to Ireland as well, so both Ireland and Scotland are both little.
You know how that always works out, like in the World Cup, when like there's a surprising loss, it just ends up working out so that the two best teams advance anyways?
It works out a lot where like Scotland will like destroy Japan,
yeah,
and then they'll sneak through on bonus points or whatever. But
here's what I have to say. Ireland get fucked!
So, wait, what did you ask me about right before that?
James Harden's sidestep.
So this is, James Harden has, they're playing a friendly against the Shanghai Sharks in Houston, I think, right?
Yes.
The court had a Rockets logo on it.
Then they're going to Shanghai now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think them and the Lakers are the two teams that are going to play in China before the season.
I'm amazed that they do some NBA games like... don't they do something like in London or like China during the season?
There is a London game during the season.
Yes. There's a China game that's like during the season, and it's like Sacramento and Phoenix or something like that.
This year is the first year of that, I believe.
Yeah. Quite a lot of travel to throw into a week.
Oh, I don't know. You know, you hop on a 4-hour flight to China and you come back.
Oh yeah. 4 hours from, assuming you're living in China already.
Yeah. You're in one province and you fly to another one.
Actually, here's a pitch. Make a week that's International Week where all 30 teams have to go long travel. Every team is only playing one game that week.
And they all do it in a different country.
Yeah, or maybe you fly four of them to London, four of them. Honestly, China, you could do four in Beijing, four in Shanghai.
NBA wants to get India going.
Yeah.
Let's fly to India. Let's go to Estonia.
Actually, I think they are doing a game in India this year.
Preseason though, right?
Maybe. Anyway, then it would be fair for everybody. Everybody's doing a lot of travel. So anyway, Shanghai Sharks in Houston.
Okay.
James Harden, instead of doing his step back, is doing a sort of a Dirk step back from three.
Not even close to a Dirk. Like this is if Dirk... I mean, it is just the wildest shot because what's the first rule of taking a shot in basketball?
Square your shoulders.
Your shoulders and stay upright.
Yes. Right?
And he is jumping to the side.
Yeah.
And like, you just think about it. The target is moving in front of you. And, he's good enough where like if he makes it work, it's fine. But it is funny that the one shot he did make, he just fucking clanked it.
Yeah. By the way, squaring up shoulders... we've talked about this before. It is not as big an emphasis as it used to be.
Yeah.
Especially finishing with your shoulders squared up is not a thing anymore.
Yes.
But this is a crazy shot. I will tell you what's really weird about the shot that he's doing. Imagine you're going off of one leg to shoot a jumper. Like even the Dirk ones. He was right-handed, right,
Dirk? Yes.
So he would most of the time fall back and lift his right knee with his right hand shooting that shot.
Yeah.
The James Harden one, he is shooting
off his left foot
shooting with his left hand.
Yeah.
So his left hand is going up while his right knee is... That is such a weird...
It's insane to me. I don't know if I could get a shot up that would...
I certainly could not casually throw up a three-point shot that would... Like I would have trouble hitting the rim.
There's no way that I could do that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So imagine for your right-handers out there, you take one step to your left, plant your right foot down, and you're lifting your left knee up as you shoot with your right hand.
Yeah.
That is a very weird shot.
Yeah.
Like when we're doing like the kids' versions of layups, we're always taught like like you've almost got a string between your ball and the knee when you go out for that layup. Your knee, your right knee's coming up with your right hand.
Yeah.
And then you, you know, aim for the box. I have seen many times over the years, though, that a lot of the people that make it to the NBA often have quote unquote incorrect footwork.
Yeah.
I remember specifically, who's a guy from Ron Mercer?
Yeah.
From Kentucky. He went to the Celtics, I believe. I remember him doing a spin move where he, and I think it's actually technically illegal, he spun off of one foot and landed on the same foot and then shot a layup.
Wow.
I think that's actually illegal in the traveling rule. But I remember just being like, there, he did it so casually, and like it would, you would never practice it that way, but he was just so fast and like coordinated in his own way that he didn't need to do footwork in a, like a way that you get coached to do.
Yeah.
And he scored and it was great, but it was just like, I remember watching the replay of that being like, wow, that is really like incorrect in terms of what a school kid gets taught on how to shoot or move your feet.
Yeah.
By the way, the traveling rule was updated in a way that I don't really understand what's different about it.
Talk to me.
They updated the gather rule in some way.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem that different than it was before, but I think they are trying to clarify what is a gather. Let me try to look that up while we... Oh, NBA passes new traveling rules to define the gather step, and then the definition was like not that clear to me.
Yeah. So they're changing the rule. They have clarified for the officials. Does it feel like it actually changes the implementation of the rule?
All right, let me read from this NBA press release.
Let's do it.
The changes to the rulebook are below. The following definition of the gather will be added to the definition section of the playing rules. For a player who receives a pass or gains possession of a loose ball, the gather is defined as the point where the player gains enough control of the ball to hold it, change hands, pass, shoot, or cradle against his body. So if you're getting a pass or you're picking up the ball, you have your initial gather is when you've gotten control of it.
Okay.
That seems like it, what it was.
Seems like how I remember.
If you are dribbling, the gather is defined as the point where a player does any of the following. Puts two hands on the ball, permits the ball to come to rest while he's in control of it.
Okay.
Puts a hand under the ball and brings it to a pause.
Okay.
Which seems kind of like what we think of as carrying.
Yeah.
Or gains enough control of the ball to hold it, change hands, pass, shoot, or cradle it. So that's, you can gain control of the ball with one hand, and that counts as your gather. Then they're incorporating that idea into the traveling rule that once you've done that, you get two steps to come to a stop to pass the ball or shoot the ball. Or if you haven't dribbled, you get one step before you have to start dribbling.
Got it.
That's kind of what it was before.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like how I remember it, but maybe it was the, you know, the 2.5 that people would talk about.
So a player who gathers the ball while dribbling may take two steps in coming to a stop passing his ball. The first step occurs when a foot or both feet touch the floor after the player gathers the ball. So maybe this is a, I'm sure this is a thing to like clarify the Harden moves.
Oh, because he,
he's technically he'll
gather while one foot's on the ground, and then the second foot that he puts down is the first foot from the pass, but now that would be the second foot?
Yes, and I believe there was some murkiness about like when has he actually gathered the ball? Because I actually remember a long time ago seeing this play that I was kind of befuddled by and actually was legal in the league and probably might still be, which was, this might have been, speaking of Ron, this might have been Ron Harper.
Okay.
Where a lot of times what happens, like if someone's trying to bust through a double team, they will kind of push the ball out in front of them. Like where they're not really controlling the ball, they're sort of passing it to themselves.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like if you're trying to split a double team, you've seen a lot of, like Lillard does this all the time.
Yes.
You'll kind of throw the ball in between the two guys, and then because you've got the best attack at it,
You're going forward, they're going backwards. You can kind of have that space if you get that ball out there.
So imagine this, you do that. And then in the process of you catching up to the ball, gathering it and going for a layup, from the moment you've pushed it between the split double team and the moment that you catch up to it,
yeah,
you can actually take as many steps as you want.
Whoa.
Like I remember seeing a thing where somebody took like 4 steps in the midst of that and then took 2 more steps, like caught up to the ball, gathered it and took two steps to do a layup and ended up taking like six steps without an actual dribble.
Yeah.
And actually that still seems legal based on this rule.
Yeah. Wow.
I'll be interested to see how this actually affects the, you know, this has to be a response to the Harden stuff.
I mean, yes. And, you know, I mean, you feel like he's always trying to, always trying to get in there and change something up.
And, you know, this 1 foot thing, that's the new one.
Yeah.
That's the thing that you're going to see kids at courts all around your city trying and failing to do.
Oh, and I can't wait to fail doing this. I cannot wait to fail.
I think if I'll just say, since the weather's nicer, we are going to get out and do our 3-point challenge.
Yes.
I would bet that if I took, let's say, I don't think I have the stamina to take 100 of these.
Okay. All right.
Let's say
maybe over the course of an hour with some water breaks and maybe checking our phone.
Okay. Let's say
we take 100
each.
Okay. Yeah.
I bet I could make 7.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot?
I think that's a lot. I think if I were to take 100 of these kind of shots, I guess with my dominant hand, I would make 3.
Yeah, you have to. You're right-handed?
I am right-handed.
Okay.
So I'd take it from the other side of the court.
You take
the
other side of the court. You have to be right going foot. To your left.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And jumping off my right foot. Yeah, what a nightmare.
I think I could make 7, and I think I could hit the rim 30 times out of 100.
I would say I would hit the rim. Like towards the back end, I would be hitting the rim more, but I wouldn't be making them. I mean, yeah, I'm saying I'm a 3% shooter on that specific shot.
I think I'm a 7% shooter. I think my player impact plus minus is going to be higher than yours.
I mean, to be totally fair, that's better than James Harden right now. He's never made one of those that's when true. People are watching.
That's true.
So
we're better than James. There's some advanced stat out there where we're better than... I believe we've put out more podcast episodes.
We definitely have put out
more podcast impact episodes. Podcast management.
Hey, James Harden, come on the podcast and see if you can change your podcast efficiency rating.
Yeah. I call that pod.
Pod.
Player podcast...
Optimization?
Optimization measurement.
Optimization.
No, measurement. D. And then you abbreviate it as D.
Yes, yeah. M and D are basically the same thing in the decimal system.
Are they really?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Is there a D Roman?
No, sorry. I said the decimal system. I meant the metric system.
Ah. But is there a D in the Roman numerings?
Yes.
M is 1,000?
M is 1,000.
What is D?
D is 500?
Oh, is it really?
I think so.
Let's see. You got C, which is 100. You got I, which is 1.
Yeah.
V is 5. Yeah. X is 10.
D is 500.
And L is 50?
L is 50, yes.
What a great numbering system. I like that system.
You know the great thing is that it only goes up to, you know, thousands. There's nothing past.
Oh, really?
There's not even a 5,000.
Wow.
It's just like...
So to list like a million. So like they just literally...
There is no million.
They didn't have a million of anything.
No.
Like even if a philosopher in Rome was counting grains of sand, he'd have to be like, well, there's at least... There's like 1,000 grains of sand on the beach.
After... Literally after 4,999, you're done. Actually, 4,998, you're done. You can't go past that.
You can't just stack up M's?
I mean, not... You can only
have... You can't just put 5 M's?
You can't put 5 in a row. That's not how the system works. You can only put 4 in a row.
Listen, my rap album that comes straight out of Rome, it's going to be called Stacking Up M's.
Stacking Up M's.
Straight out of Rome. So a philosopher counting grains of sand on the beach would be like... You know,
well, first he'd be beheaded for counting grains of sand on the beach because that doesn't contribute to the Holy Roman Empire.
You know,
any fucking diddly squat.
The permutations of love number as many as the grains of sand on the beach.
Oh,
there are 4,998 permutations of love only.
My darling, to me sounded like it needed to be romanticized.
Uh-huh.
So I sang a romantic song.
Even the wealthiest man in all of the Empire
yeah.
has 4,998
yeah.
pieces of gold.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
That is crazy. I wonder how they measured wealth. Above that. They could have made other units that were like, once you're in unit currency units, you can just do whatever.
Oh, yeah. You could say, oh, I have 600 pieces of gold.
Right.
But I've got 2 pieces of platinum.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, got it.
What else is going on NBA-wise?
What else is going on NBA-wise? We got a brand new shot for our fallen friend in New Orleans, Lonzo Ball.
Uh-huh.
His shot's looking good.
Ooh.
Right? Whereas...
New mechanics. I've not seen these.
So, 3 years in Los Angeles for Lonzo. Or was it just two? It was just two?
It was just two, wasn't it?
2 years in Los Angeles for Lonzo. And they were like, we're not going to change the shot.
Right.
15 seconds in New Orleans. And they're like, we're changing this shit. And it looks so good.
Mm.
It looks so good. If you want to check a video of it, you could check your Twitter.
I'm watching it right now. Looks good.
It looks great, right? He looks like he knows how to actually shoot a basketball now.
Yeah, that's really annoying.
It's so upsetting, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, what does this say about the Lakers player development?
Well, it basically says that, you know, we should all be glad that Magic is not in the picture anymore, is my guess. Because okay. I don't think that... Rob Pelinka on his own would be like, oh, we're not going to mess with the shot. Like, I feel like somebody coming from the world of business and it being an agent and all that stuff, would be a little more sober about, like, just doing what's necessary to get better. Whereas I can see this idea, like, a lot of the sort of, soft is not the right word, but a lot of the, like, feel choices that the Lakers have made over the last couple of years feel very Magic.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is annoying because we could have just, you know, we kept Kuzma out of the four. Is that who we kept?
We did keep Kuzma,
who also just hurt himself.
You mean out of the five?
Oh, who?
Because we sent Ivica Zubac out.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Out of the seven
because we sent Bonga and Wagner out.
Well, and we kept Caruso.
We did keep Caruso, but we didn't draft Caruso. Caruso was just he appeared out of Texas A&M's like. Train station, and he was like fully formed as a bald is man. He an A&M person? That I feel like he's from Texas A&M.
Wow.
Like they don't have like a system. You know, they're not like, oh, we are for sure a basketball.
Wow.
Guy.
Not only did he attend Texas A&M, he is from College Station, where that.
Wow. Like,
that's
that, yeah. He's there. Wow. That's an Aggie for life.
So he's 100% a Trump supporter. There's no way he's not.
That's so funny.
I mean, there has to be that way. What else is going on?
What else is going on in like the world?
We're in
of
the
basketball?
Home stretch before actual basketball starts.
We are. So, of course, that means that LeBron James is using his public persona to influence social policy.
Oh.
Don't know if you saw this or not.
Just
but
stick
the,
to playing basketball.
Whoa. That is, I just want to assure our listeners.
Shut up and dribble? Is that what it is?
That's another one. There's two of them. Are the official stance of the Rule of Threes podcast is not shut up and dribble.
No.
He invited Gavin Newsom, who I can say his name more like a normal person, Gavin Newsom, to Undefeated and The Shop to sign a bill that says...
Right, NCAA.
NCAA cannot penalize players for making money off of their own likeness.
You got to be fully on board with this.
I am fully on board with this. This is a great rule. Minus the big step of let's pay the players. Mm-hmm. This is a way for the government to step in and stand up for some mistreated labor. Oh, I love it.
This is like something Ed O'Bannon could have used, right?
Oh, Ed O'Bannon would have been so happy to sue Electronic Arts with this in hand.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, with this in hand, he could have just gone to Electronic Arts and been like,
Pay me. Right.
Which is, you know, just a real bummer that Ed O'Bannon got shafted in that way. Were you more of an Ed O'Bannon guy or a Charles O'Bannon guy?
I was a Tyus Edney. Isn't he a UCLA player at the same time?
I think he was. He may have been a couple of years after.
I only know Tyus Edney because he went coast to coast.
coast to coast.
And hit a layup at the end of some game that people thought was important.
He was at the same time as them, yes.
Can I recommend a podcast episode that I really enjoyed, and it's going to come from a surprising source?
Yes.
The Woj Pod.
Oh!
Interview with Doc Rivers and Eric Spoelstra.
Okay, okay.
A very good episode to listen to. I highly recommend it to
anybody. Were they on at the same time?
Same time.
Wow. They let coaches talk to each other.
Yeah, and they've both got a Riley connection.
Yes, of course.
And you know what? At the end of this interview, I liked Doc Rivers more than I did but at the start of it.
Why have I not liked Doc Rivers?
Well, he was a Celtic coach. That's not the best.
I'm trying to think of like what reason I actually had not to like him. I don't know if I ever had one. Because like Mark Jackson didn't like because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But like Doc Rivers is like, he's a good coach. And I just like dislike the teams that he coached. And I have for basically as long as he's been a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like he's always like a funny guy who's got a good quip or two. And, yeah. You know. Well, maybe there's some jokes in him left.
It's pretty interesting. By the way, Woj asked them, who is a coach in the league that you think is underrated that you always have trouble at going up against?
Ooh.
They both said the same name.
And I get to guess.
There's no way you're going to guess it.
Oh, I was going to say Quinn Snyder.
Nope.
No.
He's a West Coast coach, I will say.
Ooh, okay. Is it Terry Stotts? Then I'm out.
It's Dave Yeager.
Ah.
They both like simultaneously said Dave Yeager. It was very surprising.
Interesting.
They just said that he has the I think a coach-to-coach compliment is they both, Doc Rivers specifically said that he runs very interesting stuff.
Okay.
So, you know.
I like that.
Like, these guys are very much nerds in the way that they like, they observe plays. You know, they'll go see a junior high school basketball game and be like, ooh, what's that play they ran there? And then they'll like stick it into a, like they actually tell the story of Doc Rivers seeing one of his children, maybe Austin's like AAU game.
Yeah.
And taking a play from that and using it against the Miami Heat that night.
Wow.
I would recommend that podcast. It's very interesting.
Give it a listen. The Zach Lowe podcast with Woj.
Yeah. And by the way, you know what? I should like Doc Rivers because he coaches my second favorite basketball team.
That is a very good point. So. Your second favorite basketball team that pleads to you to come support the Clippers. I have something else I want to talk about.
Yes.
The Lakers are hosting Pride Night.
When is this?
This is a preseason game.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to ask you how you feel about what it feels like the Lakers being the only team in the NBA not to have an in actual season Pride Night.
Oh, I hadn't noticed. I didn't know that until
I just told you. Because like they're talking about on their social media, like, hey, we got Pride Night on, you know, October this or that, and it's like everybody else, it feels like they have a Pride Night during the season. Other sports,
so the Lakers ones are always preseason.
Yes.
I don't know, but I want some gear. it's funny because I just got my Lakers season pass waiting list single ticket purchase offer.
Ooh, okay.
Side note, I also got my Pantages Hamilton pre-sale offer.
Oh, congratulations.
I went and bought a bunch of Hamilton tickets.
I mean, that's the way to go, is to get them early or try to play the lottery. I don't know. I played the lottery for Hamilton every day last time.
Oh.
Not because I wanted to see Hamilton, but because I was trying to get tickets for somebody.
Yep.
And it did not work out. Never won that lottery. None of that worked out.
And actually, I had a hand in that person going to see it.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Hamilton runs from March 2020 until September 2020.
Is that a long time for a theater play?
Long time for a touring show to sit down in one city.
I mean, do they just feel like they can make $20,000 a night? Is that a low estimate? How much do you think that show makes every night in ticket sales?
Way more than $20,000.
How much does one ticket, how many seats are there at the Pantages?
Let's see. I want to guess
$2,300. And so then they're, the tickets cost over $150 a piece.
Let's see. $2,700.
$2,700. I imagine there's tiers of tickets, okay, too.
There's definitely tiers of tickets, and I don't know how to do the ad, but I would guess that show makes $500,000 of gross revenue per night.
Per night?
Per night, because there's 2,700 seats. Let me tell you how much, and I did not buy these tickets.
Yeah.
The front orchestra sections on all three sides, the face value tickets are $450.
Okay.
Now, starting at row V.
Yeah.
They are $175.
Okay.
By the way, these are all slightly higher on the weekend.
Okay.
And then the mezzanine goes from like $175, and the back of the mezzanine is like $60.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I see it now, because $500,000 divided by 2,700 is about $185.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, wow. Every one of those $450 tickets is bumping up your average to be like, and those will, when I was looking today, a lot of them were sold already.
Wow.
That was a little much. I couldn't justify that.
That's crazy.
Lakers Pride Night is October 16th.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I'll go, because, well, I was Googling around. Last year, they got a shirt.
Okay.
This year, a Unity LED bracelet.
That does not sound as good as a shirt.
Well, it doesn't sound as fun to have after the game is over.
Yeah.
Because I assume that's one of those bracelets that, like, they light up in sync with each other so that the crowd can, like, all...
Truly, I have no idea.
I bet that's what it is. Like, I remember Olympics when they started handing those out. But on your own, at home, not going to be as cool.
Okay, yeah. LED bracelets and the crowd sync technology. That could be cool. It's not as cool as the Sparks game I went to, where the entire crowd swag surfed.
Ooh.
Which was, I just need to tell everyone.
Tell me what swag surfing is.
There's a song and there's a dance or whatever. It needs to be replace the wave immediately.
Oh, okay.
In every scenario.
Okay.
Imagine this. Row by row, everybody locks shoulders.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then everybody goes to the left. And everybody goes to the right.
Uh-huh.
But it alternates on row. So if the row in front of you is going to the left, you go to the right, etc. And it goes back and forth. And so it's just this like writhing mass of people. And it looked so cool.
Huh.
This was the coolest looking crowd thing I've ever seen at an American stadium.
And you call that swag surfing.
Swag surfing. There is a dance. I don't know if this swag surf was particularly relevant to... like one song or not, but it was amazing. And I normally buy suite tickets for the Sparks games, mm-hmm. and it made me wish I had bought a bowl ticket.
How did they coordinate this?
They stopped in the middle, in between the third and the fourth quarter, and they told everyone, "We're gonna do this," and then everybody did it.
Oh,
and they gave a little example of it.
Well, I was gonna say, do they come and tell you like your row goes this way first?
No. I mean, it's pretty easy once one row goes away to know that you're going to go the other way.
I see. I'm looking at some footage of swag surfing, and it looks pretty cool.
Right. So, and the wave sucks. The wave fucking sucks, and the wave has sucked for forever. If you're at Dodger Stadium and somebody's trying to start the wave, that person should be kicked out of the stadium. That's my humble opinion.
Yes.
And I'm not being, like, a jerk who doesn't care. I'm being correct. Okay. That's what's happening here.
By the way, most of the swag surfing... Oh, no, okay. So if you YouTube swag surfing, some of the examples are not alternating. Some of them are everybody together. But I just saw one where the alternate rows are alternating, and it looks very cool. And I'm going to show you a picture of the Lakers Pride shirt from last year.
Okay.
Can you see that? Not my favorite.
You don't love UCLA Health and all they've contributed to?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's
what it is. Because I was like, I recognize that logo.
Yeah, it's because that's UCLA Health sponsored their training center that they built in El Segundo.
What is that? But I don't want that on my Pride Night shirt.
No, you see, because UCLA sounds like...
Lakers Pride and U.
Yeah. CLA Health Services.
Yeah, exactly. You cannot like not say the rest of that.
Yeah.
Did anything actually happen basketball wise?
No. I mean, it's just like players around the league saying they lost 100 pounds, or Avery Bradley saying he lost 500
this
pounds.
This is a good time for people to be like, man, he's working out and he looks great. He
looks great. Rondo's going to be so good this year, is what everybody says.
Hakeem has been working with a consultant that has told him he's been running the court incorrectly all these years.
Wow.
He's been landing on his heel. He should be landing on his toes
more. And so he's going to run on his toes.
He's going to be so much better this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to make his Achilles stronger. He's going to have a better forward gait. It's going
to... Exactly. That was a story when I was in Houston as a kid.
Yeah.
Them being like, Hakeem's coming back this year stronger than ever because he's learned how to run the court.
I love that it's like, this man has learned to run.
Yeah.
This man has finally learned to run. Congratulations. They didn't teach him that.
Yeah.
Back in Houston University, University of Houston, he was not taught how to run.
Guy Lewis, Fi Slamma Jamma.
Fi Slamma Jamma.
Truly a great team.
Do you have memories of like Fi Slamma Jamma?
Oh, yeah.
As a kid?
I had a Fi Slamma Jamma towel.
Wow.
And both my sisters went to the University of Houston.
No shit.
When those teams were there.
That's awesome. You probably got to go to a student section game or something.
I don't think I saw a game in for real, but I remember
them. TV and
yeah. That. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they were... What's crazy is my older sister, Jessie, started... Her first 2 years of college were at North Carolina State University, and her last two were at University of Houston. So I don't know if you remember.
NC State.
Pretty big game between the two of those schools.
Oh, yeah. You're right in the middle.
Yeah. So I think she was a little torn because I think that they would have won 3 or 2.
Yeah.
They really should have won that game against the Wolfpack.
I mean,
of course, and as a kid growing up in North Carolina, I was diehard Tar Heels. Yeah, like when you go over to North Carolina, you're either going to be Tar Heels, Wolfpack, or Blue Devils.
I think I had a guest on this podcast who was North Carolina. He says you're either a Duke fan or a North Carolina fan, or you're a redneck.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, and also North Carolina State hasn't really had tons of basketball teams to root for.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is all those schools are within like a 5 mile radius or whatever.
Yeah,
the research triangle.
What did he? What did Jimmy V say? Never give up. Always do your thing.
He said, "Never give up. Never surrender." By the power of Grebthar.
Isn't it? This is never give up. Don't ever give up. I don't know. I maybe
never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Okay, maybe it's a little crass for us to make fun of poor old Jimmy V and his foundation on the.
I mean, if he hadn't come out running out there with all that enthusiasm, the foundation would have never happened, probably.
I feel like college coaches are ripe for so much parody.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a college coach comedy character who is just every combination of weird things that college coaches have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Biting a towel, throwing a chair, running onto the court, getting choked out by Latrell Sprewell. I know that was a pro coach, but it's the same kind of deal.
Yeah.
Right? Coaches are inherently funny.
Yes, they are.
And it's funny to think about how silly and goofy everything every coach has ever done is.
I was trying to remember of a later North Carolina State player that I liked.
Len Bias?
No, do you go to North Carolina State? I feel like he went to like Vanderbilt or something.
I can't remember. I feel like he did, but I'm just...
Now I gotta look that up. Len Bias went to...
Maryland. Yeah.
Maryland.
Just slightly north of North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other Maryland players we've had. I was trying to think of Julius Hodge, who I think either punched or got punched by Chris Paul.
Yeah, that makes sense. In college, right?
In college.
Yeah.
Julius Hodge, I think he did go to the league, but didn't have like a real strong career.
Yeah.
And then there was another North Carolina State player named like, or maybe there's a Maryland player named like Francisco something.
Who played for the Kings for forever.
Maybe.
Yeah. Francisco Garcia?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember if Francisco Garcia played for NC State. He played for Louisville. The guy who I think you might be thinking of is the guy from Maryland who played for them for a while and like beat Duke a couple of times.
Best Maryland college basketball players. I wonder who's going to be on this list. Steve Blake.
Steve Blake, yes. A big Maryland guy.
He played for the Lakers, didn't he? He was part of that crew, wasn't he?
Steve Blake came over to the Lakers to replace Derek Fisher. In those years after Derek Fisher retired.
Juan Dixon is who I'm trying to think
of. That's it. That is exactly who I was thinking of.
Yep. Okay. We got a divisional.
Preview. Certainly do. Due to some scheduling fun, we're gonna change up the order. I'm gonna confess, I was just doing it based on which division had the from lowest to highest most wins by the division leader.
Well, what's funny is I thought the system was. Which divisions are terrible?
I mean,
which is basically what it
that's,
was.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is.
So we would have done the Pacific this week.
We would have done the Pacific this week, but we're flipping it. We're flipping the script. We're going on the inverse. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the time where we talk about the Central Division.
The Central Division.
Yeah, so we're going to start with the worst team in the Central Division and work our way up.
Did we already talk about the Atlantic?
We did not.
And we talked about the Southeast.
The Southeast, the Southwest, and the Northwest.
Ah.
And so we're flipping it. We're going top down. If I had my druthers, it would be Pacific, then Atlantic, then Central. But we're going to go Central, Atlantic, Pacific.
Okay, so we're going Central today.
Yeah.
I don't think I could tell you who is on the Cleveland Cavaliers this year.
Yes, you can. He's got a rat tail.
Kevin Love?
Kevin Love. He got a rat tail in the summer. No, Colin Sexton got a rat tail.
Oh, okay. Colin Sexton, who people just hate for no reason.
Yeah. And don't forget, is he Turkish?
Chetty.
Get Chetty with it.
He says he's from Macedonia.
Okay, that's probably better.
Which you never know. Could have been part of one of these countries.
We got the ghost of Richard Jefferson.
We got a few former Lakers.
That's true. The ghost of Channing Frye, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance.
Oh, wait. Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson are on the same team again?
In basketball heaven, which is where you go to when you retire?
Well, I mean, they're both on the Cavaliers this year.
I mean, they're the ghosts. Because they've retired from that
team. I just mean that this means probably a strong return of the road tripping podcast.
I mean, I'm sure they both live in Los Angeles now, so...
Road Tripping was a pretty good podcast, but it was weird when they weren't on the same team because they did a lot of episodes like during the season.
Yeah.
So then they would be a lot of like solo episodes. By the way, when you listen to Road Tripping podcast, their voices don't belong to the one you think it belongs to.
Oh. I mean, I know what they both sound like.
I do now, but when I first started, I was like surprised that the sort of manlier voice was Channing Frye's.
Yeah. Did I tell the story on the podcast about how I was like a test subject for a game show with Channing Frye?
Maybe.
No, with Richard Jefferson. Yes, Richard Jefferson.
I think you did because I guess he's trying to expand his career.
Yeah, and it didn't go that nobody bought it, but it was cool. And Richard Jefferson was really good at being a game show host. So.
Last year the Cleveland Cavaliers won 19 games.
Yeah. Oh, oof.
You got a plus minus on this for this year? Do you have a team impact plus minus?
I do. My team impact plus minus for our Cleveland Cavaliers is that I think they are going, like, if we're just gonna, you know, get to it because we don't have anything to say about them because they don't make sense as a team and they're like don't have good pieces and they're not gonna compete this year.
Is Ty Lue still the coach?
Ty Lue is not the coach. Ty Lue is the coach of, I think he's an assistant with the Clippers.
Really?
He signed an assistant deal with the Clippers, if I recall.
Wow.
They signed Jim Boeheim to be there. No, whoever the...
Oh, no, no.
Boeheim.
Beeline.
Boeheim.
Beeline.
Not Boeheim. Boeheim.
From, this guy used to be, I want to say West Virginia?
Was he coaching Michigan?
He was coaching Michigan, but yeah. I feel like this dude was the guy who, like, Pitsnoggle.
That sounds like a classic Chris Grace kind of basketball player.
I did like that guy. That's how I remember him.
I like how I have your, like, oh yeah. Yeah, that's a Chris Grace guy.
He was at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Because they came close to doing well.
Yeah, and he was, like, fully 35 with, like, three kids. Crazy.
Yeah, he's kind of like he was kind of like the Brad. What's his name of the time?
Brad.
Is that his name?
Brad Miller. Brad Miller.
No. Who's the Boston coach?
Oh, Brad Stevens.
And also whoever used to coach the Richmond Spiders.
Oh yeah, God yeah, the Richmond Spiders.
So You don't remember that?
No.
Richmond Spiders like had like this NCAA tournament presence that they shouldn't. Like a lot of times we're like when a Gonzaga or something like
is. Oh
like,
yeah.
Wait, why is this team so good at this?
Yes, that makes sense.
So anyway, you know what? I'm gonna give them a little credit for having him be their coach, and actually, I haven't seen him coach since West Virginia, but
yeah.
But Kevin Love is very similar to Kevin Pitsnile in style. Actually, they actually are because they're like big guys who shoot threes.
Yeah, like what if Kevin Pitsnile was? What if Pitsnile was good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say they're going to win 20 games this year.
Wow. I'm putting them at 25 because there's no way they just lose that badly, right? It's a regression to the mean. 25 is still not good. They still have a really bad team.
They'll still be one of the worst teams in the league.
Yes. They're not going to be 19-63 because they'll get a full year from Kevin Love.
Yeah. And by the way,
Sexton's going to be better next year. Larry Nance is really good.
Since Sexton is a young
Jordan Clarkson exists.
I'm going to guess that Sexton is going to be about 10% better than he was last year.
Ooh,
since he's under 29.
Wow. That's like game breaking. We should publish that.
That's my 10% advanced stat.
I love it.
They lost the last 10 games of their season last year.
Yes, they did.
So that's definitely a team that just phoned it in at the end. They were all just like, let's get to the summer.
They certainly did.
Next up, we have the Chicago Bulls.
Chi-Town, Southside. Got to set this party off right.
Right. How are you feeling about the Chicago Bulls?
I love what they did this offseason.
Oh, really?
Right? They signed Satoransky. They signed a
container of Zatarans.
They did. Going to make some red beans and rice up in the Windy City.
Mm-hmm.
They signed, what's his face? Thaddeus Young. This is the year that they had traded for Otto Porter Jr. last year. I mean, I just think that they're just getting better.
They still got Lauri Markkanen.
They got Markkanen.
They
still have Zach LaVine.
I was going to say, they still have Zach LaVine.
People love Coby White. The young point guard they drafted who had the fantastic reaction gif.
Okay.
I think that the Chicago Bulls are a team on the rise. How far are they rising? Not that far.
Higher than the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yes. I do believe they will be better than the Cavaliers this year. I think that as a team, I expect them to compete for the 10th seed in the playoffs.
And that's a great competition.
Great. You really want to be in the competition
for the
10th
seed. The prize is you aren't 11th.
Yeah. Yes. Great prize.
Am I wrong that they had kind of a crappy coach that they signed a long contract to?
Jim Boylan.
Like, and people were like, why did they sign him?
Yes, they did.
Like, what was the big rush and demand to lock him in?
Well, so here's the thing. If you don't sign a Boylan guy to a big contract, you know, he's just going to get too hot and he's going to sit in that water and it's going to be real bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want a dead coach in your hands. That's bad. That's bad news. So you got to sign him so he gets out of the water. It's okay. The old, you put a fish in boiling water. He's great. You put a boil in fishing coach water. He gets $1 million.
Huh. All right. Coby White is a Tar Heel, by the way.
Yes, he is.
I'm sorry. Did you say how many wins you think you're
going to have? I'm going to put them at 29 wins.
I'm going to put them at 25.
All right.
Moving on.
We got our squeaking in Detroit Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get a full year out of their wonderful trio. They got a hot trio on the team. Do you love this trio or what?
Oh, well, it's the age of the big threes, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
And two of these guys are pretty big. It's Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and Reggie Bullock?
Reggie Jackson? I think it's Svi.
I sure hope it's Svi. That'd be really fun.
Well, this actually is the year of the big twos this year, so, you know.
I mean, and these two, who is bigger than this two?
I mean, I like Blake Griffin still.
And he played like a fucking boss last season. Yeah. He was so good. It's just, I don't see this team being good. I don't like their roster. I don't like the fit that they have with all their players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like down the line, I see nothing for this team.
I mean, I would agree with you if they were lacking, let's say, a strong offensive veteran presence. But I think they took care of that very recently.
That's true. They signed Derrick Rose.
I think even more veteran than that.
They signed...
I remember hearing about this, and I'm just confirming that this
Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Joe Johnson, because what you do is you take an MVP from another league.
Yeah. And you bring him in.
Now, it's like when, I would say, Sonny Bill Williams moved from rugby league to rugby union.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same sport. You know, you don't know if Joe Johnson can play this game.
Yeah. And, you know, rugby union, you know, there's a lot less field, a lot less, you know, stuff to go around, less people on the field at a time.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite, I think, for league and union. But you know,
I took a swing.
You know, Joe Johnson is great at a 3-on-3 game.
That is true. And if with the big two occupying another big two, maybe he can take the other three to the next level.
Right. And what's great is I think that for all the games that the Pistons have this year where they only have to play one half of the court and you don't have to run full court.
Yeah.
He should be
totally fine. What I think this means, though, truly, is that Ice Cube owns the Detroit Pistons now.
Ah.
That's how this works. If your best player gets signed to another league, you then own that team. So I feel bad for the Detroit Pistons.
He basically got like loaned to them like in soccer.
It's so wild. Okay, bottom line, I don't think the Pistons are going to be good this year.
Do you think they'll make the playoffs again?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I have the Pistons down for 37 wins.
So wait, you think they got worse based on last year?
Yes, I do.
Or do you think just the other teams got better?
I think other teams got better, and I also don't think that they are good in general.
Yeah, I don't know that they are good either. I'm looking at an article that says, Joe Johnson savors the aspect of getting back into the NBA grind. It's like, oh boy. That's one of those off-season, like, oh man, he's going to be great. Like the idea that a 38-year-old perimeter player is looking forward to getting back into like NBA speed and fitness levels.
It's gross.
Is not that's I don't think that's going to play out the way Detroit fans would want it to.
I mean, here's what I do think. I think he'll be a solid veteran contributor off the bench. I think he's still got that in him.
Mm.
Right? I know he took like a year off from the NBA, but the man can still shoot and play, right?
How much Tobias Harris did they have
back in the day?
Last season.
None.
Why is he listed on their team for last season then?
That's a great question. He should not have been on their team at all last season.
Because he was on the Clippers.
Yes.
And then got traded to the 76ers.
That is correct.
That's very bizarre. I guess what I'm wondering is how, in what ways did they get significantly worse than last year?
So that's a great question. Right. I don't think that they got significantly worse than they did last year.
Mm.
I just don't think that it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work this season. I don't think that they made themselves better. I don't know. That's a good way to look at it, but I'm going to go with the 10% downwards trajectory on every single one of their players. It's advanced stats. Look it up.
2017-18.
Yeah.
That's the previous season, right?
Yes.
That has Tobias Harris is playing 48
games. Oh, sorry. That was the previous season. So last year was 2018-19.
There you go.
There you go. It's almost 2020.
Good Lord. You know what? I'm measuring it by how soon is it to Hamilton being in Los Angeles.
Okay, fair.
No wonder. Okay, so Reggie Bullock is not on the team this year?
Reggie Bullock is not on the team
this year. Ellington?
Wayne Ellington is... give me a sec. Wayne Ellington is not on the team this year.
Okay. I think I saw that Luke Kennard still is.
He is. Tony Snell got added.
Right.
Markieff Morris, Derrick Rose,
Joe Johnson. And also...
Thon Maker.
Svi! Zaza.
He is not on the team anymore, but he did play for them last season.
Who's the guy that just was like, I'm just going back to, is it like Mirotić or something?
Yeah, Mirotić.
Who was just like, I'm just going back to Europe.
Fuck this shit. I'm out.
And Mirotić had like a good season last year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was just like, I don't want to be here anymore.
That's crazy. So I'm going to be bullish on the Detroit Pistons. And I'm going to say they're going to win 42 games.
Okay, why are you bullish on the Pistons? Are you just doing it to be...
Just being contrary.
Okay.
Well, no, because I think that, first of all...
I don't think you actually believe it. That's the thing.
Well, the thing... I don't think that the people that they've lost make much of a difference.
Okay.
And I do think that Blake and Andre being together one more year is valuable. I think that the East is almost always weak.
Okay.
So, like, I do, like, they don't seem much worse roster wise than last year to me.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to drop to like 32 games or 35 games. Okay. I think they're going to stay somewhere near where they were. And I bet that teams like Charlotte, Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, like, maybe they're a little bit better, but to me, it's a coin flip. Like, I think it's just as likely that they'll just, like, be a little better than they were last year, and these other teams will still suck.
I mean, that's your right to have that actual opinion.
Yeah.
I can't believe it actually coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. Well, it's also because I bear no animosity towards the Detroit Pistons, and okay. I kind of like Blake Griffin.
I have found a good Little Caesars in Los Angeles, so I don't hate that.
And is that relevant to Blake Griffin?
It's relevant to the fact they play in the Little Caesars Arena.
Do they really?
Yeah, because the guy who owned the Pistons before he died made Little Caesars.
Who has the SoFi Arena?
Los Angeles Rams and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay.
Will play in the SoFi Arena.
I don't even know what SoFi is.
Oh, you want to consolidate all your debt? Get SoFi.
Wow.
Do you want to have a podcast that has an ad on it? Get SoFi.
So how many wins do you think they're going to have?
I said 37.
And they're going to drop out?
I think they are going to drop out of the playoffs.
I have them at 42. Listen, they're going to win 42 games, and Andrew Wiggins is going to be the most improved.
Oh, okay. All right.
Let's keep going.
Somebody stole Chris. Indiana Pacers up next. They're getting Victor Oladipo back.
Yay.
Victor Oladipo, who everyone is assuming is the thingamajig on The Masked Singer Season 2.
Oh, I have not watched that yet.
Nothing's been confirmed, but the rumors are abound.
Last year, Eric and I were watching Masked Singer, or this time 6 months ago, whatever.
Yeah, because those shows have a new season every 2 weeks.
And both of us were kind of like, who's Antonio Brown? and of course, now we all know who he is.
Yes, we certainly
He's
do.
A great guy. Great teammate. Get him on your team. One of the worst human beings ever created.
Love it.
I don't think that's extreme at all.
No. Here's the deal. This is the team with three TJs and a CJ.
TJ Warren?
Yes.
CJ Miles?
No.
CJ Hunter?
No.
I don't know the other one.
CJ.
Oh, three TJs.
Three TJs and one CJ.
So TJ Warren, TJ Leaf.
Yeah.
TJ Simers?
No.
The writer from the Los Angeles Times?
No. Unfortunately, this is a TJ that will miss playing in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Taking Ben Simmons' minutes.
Okay.
Scrapping and gritting all over the court.
Oh, the little dude?
Yes, the little dude. TJ the little dude. That's his name.
The
ice cream.
The Bobby Hurley
the ice cream.
That team.
TJ the ice cream man.
Is he an ice cream man?
Well, he's not an ice cream man, but there is an ice cream shop in Los Angeles with his name.
The TJ Salt and Straw.
The TJ Salt and Straw.
Yeah.
Love it. Talked on this podcast about how Salt and Straw fucking sucks?
Salt
okay.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Salt I'm loud about it.
You're talking about TJ Jenny's.
I'm talking about TJ Jenny's. All Los Angeles ice cream lovers will be enthralled at this podcast.
Yeah.
Of course, everyone knows I'm talking about TJ Magpies.
TJ Magpies. TJ McConnell.
That is correct.
Who's the other? He's like the Pat Connaughton.
He's the Pat Connaughton.
I don't mean to be racist, but all these plucky white dudes I lump together.
And you know, we put poor Matt Dellavedova in with him, but he's from Australia. It's a different set of racial.
And by the way, this kind of like racial meandering thoughts, is the perfect material to keep me from getting on SNL.
Okay, yeah, it's exactly it.
Saying that Pat Connaughton and TJ McConnell are the same is exactly the kind of like clip that's going to be pulled up in the future.
So the interesting thing is that TJ McConnell and Dellavedova are actually very similar in how they play, and Pat Connaughton's a little different. He's a little more above the rim. He's got more explosiveness, and he shoots the three better than both of those.
Who's
guys?
Who's that one I hate from the Mavericks that's still in the league?
JJ Barea.
Yeah,
yeah. So JJ Barea plays more like Dellavedova and McConnell, but with like a little more handles, right? JJ Barea is like a shifty handles guy. We're saying it on a podcast. Neither of us are going to get hired to SNL because all white players are the same.
No, but, well, all these white guards. Think about this.
Yeah.
They all have to be scrappy.
Yeah.
Like, there is no white guy equivalent to like, God, I'm trying to think of like the players over the years that just seem like who's the guy from Orlando, like Rashard Lewis.
Okay.
Who's just like, I just throw up shots. That's all I do. And I don't really care about hustling defense, that kind of stuff.
What about Kelly Olynyk?
Kelly Olynyk, he's a hustler.
He's not a hustler.
Fucking rip your shoulder out of the joint.
Yeah, but that's not hustle.
I would say Kevin Love, actually, is close to a non, like, scrappy hustle dude.
But no, that dude had 30 rebounds and 30 points in the same game.
But there's not many white players that get into the league that don't have some hustle scrap factor.
Well, that's our perception of what it takes to be a white player in the NBA coming to the forefront, right? We see that, but there are definitely all sorts of different types of white players that enter in the NBA.
But how long? But they don't stick unless they've got this scrappiness, is my theory. Who's a player that's been like a 10-year plus white guy player? Like the most, I mean, you can't even really say it about Larry Bird because he would like get in a fight with you in a second.
Okay, all right.
Who's a white player that doesn't want to get in a fight with you?
J.J. Redick.
Maybe? Yeah, I guess so. He's pretty close.
And he's been in the playoffs every single year of his career, well, as we have discovered
on this podcast. What was funny was he was on the news recently for saying, don't fuck it up to Zion.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, but you guys probably aren't making the playoffs this year. So like there's a good chance they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
In the West.
Oh, yeah. He took on quite a task by heading down there if he wants to keep this career-long streak alive. He could have stayed in Philadelphia and made the playoffs and been a favorite to win the championship, but he decided to leave because they were kicking him out of Brooklyn.
Yeah. Is that why?
Well, I mean, they kicked his wife out of a job she had at the... Well, we talked about this before.
Okay, so how many wins... By the way, Indiana did great without Oladipo last year.
They did. They really did. And that doesn't... I don't think that that says negative things about Victor Oladipo as much as that says good things about them pulling... what's-his-face off the scrap heap to play shooting guard for them. Wes Matthews Jr.
However, I will say this. If I was a Pacers fan, I would temper my expectations about... This is exactly the kind of thing where, like, they're very good. They're like Spurs of the East.
Yeah.
Well, a good organization pulls together to have a good, solid winning season. And then if you're a very optimistic Pacers fan, you're like, and we're getting back Oladipo, which means we're going to win 60 games this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, I mean, I kind of think that the Pacers are going to be competing at the top of the East this year. I think that the Brogdon Oladipo pairing is perfect. Like, yes. Absolutely perfect offense, defense. I really like that pairing. I think that, you know, just another fun, flipping season of our guys, Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis.
Yes.
They're going to show out. And I think that, you know.
They lost one of my favorite Pacers.
Yes, he did.
The other dude.
Bojan. Who went to Utah. But I think that, you know, you get from TJ Warren stuff you get from Bojan minus the, like, am I going to say it? Scrappiness.
Uh-huh. Also, another guy will get in a fight with you.
That's true. I think they're taking a good swing at the Jeremy Lamb reclamation project. I like, you know, the idea of Aaron Holiday. And, you know, this is a team that I think is going to be better than they were last year. And I don't think that approaching 60 wins is like out of the realm of possibility for this team. I think they're going to be really good.
I think they'll go for they'll compete for the top of the East, but not, I think they'll be, I'm going to put them at 54.
I would put them at 53. Okay. Right.
So this is, they'll in the conversation for like, yeah, second or third,
right,
seed.
If I say a team can win 53 games, winning 60 games is not out of the possibility for them, right? That's, yeah, just seven games that could go one way or another.
By the way, TJ Warren went to North Carolina State for college.
There you go.
Speaking of Brogdon,
his old buddies, the tight wads, the Milwaukee Bucks, who wouldn't pony up to pay.
So Brogdon, the more I read about them not keeping Brogdon, the worse it sounds to me.
Right? It sounds really bad.
It sounds very like if I was Giannis, I would be very annoyed by this.
Yeah.
Because, so the first thing, I read a couple of articles about like the various options that they had. And it's initially presented to you as they kind of had to choose between Brogdon and Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is like,
I'd choose Brogdon.
Oh, absolutely. I would choose, like...
But they made... Here's the thing.
I would choose that garbage can that shoots t-shirts at Clippers games over Eric Bledsoe.
And that thing doesn't even have a full cannon on it.
No. Neither does he.
Because they had to make the Bledsoe decision before.
Yeah, so that's not decisions. Really what it turned out to be. Asymmetric
decision.
They actually turned out to sort of pick George Hill over Brogdon. Ooh. In the way that the transaction worked out. I can't remember.
Yeah.
A Bucks fan wrote this up on Reddit, which makes the decision seem even worse to
yeah.
me.
Well, I mean, I think it's the idea that they didn't want to pay the luxury tax.
Yeah.
And I just kind of wish that they did.
I wish that they did too, because... You're not in the life cycle of this team where you should be like, you should be betting on this team. You should. I know it's not my money, so it's easy for me to say that. But
yeah.
But this isn't. They're not at the point in the development of the squad to be like cutting corners and pinching pennies and hoping that like, you know, they can just sort of sustain their, like they haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
So like, and they've got the best player in the league.
Right. So they take the, they take Giannis and they make him mad by getting rid of Brogdon.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they picked up a first and 2 seconds in the deal, right? They need young talent
yeah.
and they need shots at young talent in the future. But do you know what they did to make Giannis Antetokounmpo happy?
What?
Same thing the Lakers did. They signed a not as good Antetokounmpo brother. And the Lakers didn't sign him. They traded for him. But
okay.
They signed Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who, as has been shown before, is not an NBA player.
Right? But he's the third brother, right?
He's the oldest.
He's
the oldest basketball-playing brother.
There's Kostas as well.
There's Kostas, who's on the Lakers. Yeah. And then there's the youngest one, Alex, who is still in high school.
And there's also LiAngelo.
LiAngelo, it's a bummer because he's never gonna, like, he changed his name legally to Antetokounmpo so he could be associated with a better,
right.
better set of brothers.
Yeah.
It's still not gonna work out for him.
By the way, I still think LiAngelo should have just become a tight end.
I mean, you know, who's to say he can't anyways?
Well, right? Me. He can't. this team has two sets of brothers? Am I wrong?
They right? do have two sets of brothers. They got Giannis and Thanasis, and then they got, for the first time since Stanford, Brooke and Robin on
can
the same team.
Can they get
team.
The Morrises?
No, they can't.
No, I'm saying, like, you know, could we fill this whole team? Is it a 15-man roster?
It's a 15-man roster. It's a 17-man roster if you include two-way players.
Okay, 15-man roster. You could actually fill it up all with brothers because you get all three of the Antetokounmpos.
Okay.
That would help you with that odd
yeah,
number.
Yes.
Get the Lopezes. Get the Morrises.
Okay.
Who else we got?
Other brothers in the league
Grants,
currently.
Bring Horace and Harvey back.
No, not happening. The Holiday Brothers.
The Holiday Brothers?
You got Drew, you got Justin, you got Aaron.
Oh, there's three.
There's three, yeah.
Okay. The previously mentioned O'Bannons.
Okay, now I'm taking this seriously. There are sets of brothers in the league that we could actually get together.
Okay.
Yeah, we got...
the Gasols.
The Gasols, yes, of course. They're both still in the league. Okay, so we've got... Right now we've got... 3, 6.
What happened to
we got 12
right what now. Happened to Kareem Rush?
The Rushes are not in the league anymore.
What about
Steph Curry, Seth Curry?
There you go.
There, so we're up to 14. That's enough for a roster right
does
there.
Austin Rivers have a brother?
He does, but he doesn't play. I think he's got a brother and a sister. The snap
doesn't happened. Klay Thompson have a brother?
Yes, but his brother plays baseball.
Ah, oh, god dang it.
Yeah, but we're up to 14. That's a roster.
That's
you
your minimum.
You don't have to have
oh, you don't have to have 15.
The minimum's 13.
How many games do you think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win?
I think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win 57 games.
Whoa, you're backing them off of last year.
I am backing them off of last year because I think they won too many games and I think that they got a little worse.
So my guess is you don't think they're going to win the conference.
I do think they're going to win the conference.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So you think the conference is going to be worse than it was last
year? Yeah, but okay. By 3 games. That's essentially saying it's the same.
Well, but what I mean is, like, you're saying that they're worse by 3 games, but, like, the Toronto has to be worse by at least 2 games, and, like the conference kind of has to be worse than it was
last year. Yeah, here's a quick hint. I am going to predict that Toronto's going to be at least 2 games worse than they were last year.
Yeah. I mean, when you boil down player effectiveness, you could probably boil down Kawhi's contribution to at least 2 games.
Yes, just 2. You know, maybe they'll run it back next year and it'll be fine. But Yeah, no.
Well, that's your Central.
Central Division preview. And we'll be back at you, you know, soon with some more previews.
And we're going to do Pacific next time.
We're going to do Pacific next. We're the order has gotten all bonked, and we're going to be fine.
Cool.
Don't worry about it.
I'm going to investigate these LED bracelets.
Okay.
And if it's worth it, maybe I'll go to that game.
Great.
And I'll try to get that swag. What's it called? Swag shuffle?
Swag surf.
Swag surf.
Yeah.
Get the swag surf going.
We got to get it going.
Cool. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.